I'm Mike Salem. For over 75 years, my dad, Pastor Salem, touched lives with his love of Jesus. With your support, we are blessed to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today's message, Have You Grown Up Spiritually?, speaks to how we should handle afflictions and submit to God's will. God bless.
I'm Pastor Salem, and this is the Christian Worship Hour. And we're so happy that you're opening the door for us to come in. I hope you'll just be able to worship with us. We're all going to gather around the feet of Jesus and worship the wonderful Son of God. And the emphasis in all of our services, the Word of God, the Son of God, the Spirit of God. And so we just hope that you stay with us. And I know God will bless you because we're using His Word. You know, we get a lot of nice letters, and so we always share some of them. And because then that way you'll know what people are thinking, and maybe they'll be, the Lord will lay somebody on your heart here and you'll pray for them. So I'm going to just read some of the letters, and then we'll get into a sermon. We're going to be preaching about them, how to be a mature Christian, three ways to become a mature Christian. And I'm sure all the Christians are interested in that. Well, here's Camano Island, Washington. So writes, says, you remind me of my dad who was ordained a Salvation Army officer in Melbourne, Australia in 1900. When I was a child, he had left the army, and every Sunday he would go down to the beaches and preach the gospel with his violin and a few friends. He would soon have a crowd around him, sometimes a few hecklers, but that didn't faze him. God bless your ministry. And oh, isn't that nice? That's great. I admire the Salvation Army. I'm a great supporter of the Salvation Army, and God is using them mightily all over the world. And here's one, retired or whatever he was, and he's down there on the beaches preaching the gospel. Well, there's sinners down there. God knows there's enough sinners down on the beaches. They need the gospel. Here's Boulder, Montana. I am currently in Jefferson County Jail. I was wondering if you can send me some Bible study stuff or anything that has to do with the Bible. Me and my cellmate are Christians now. We have faith and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are locked up, but we're not suffering because we found the Lord in here. But we were hoping you can send us something about the message of God's word. And can you pray for me and my cellmate to get to where we are going, to pray for us to go where God wants us to go? Thank you for your time, and God bless the Christian Worship Hour. I tell you, we never have a week. Well, most every day we get a letter from somebody in prison. In one federal prison, we had 14 different people write to us. We answer every letter we get and send literature. And we encourage them because St. Paul was in prison. And when he was in prison, he witnessed to those, the people in prison. And they, many of them opened their heart to the Lord. And here, these young men, or I guess they're young, I don't know. But anyway, they're born again, and they're witnessing. And who knows what God will do through them. Here is Duluth, Minnesota. It's been 3 years now since we caught your worship service on our TV. Since then, we made it a point to watch the Christian Worship Hour every Sunday night. I want to thank you for your presentation of the true gospel, which has strengthened my wife's and my faith. We also appreciate the new song material that we have been receiving. And so, well, now one thing here that says it has strengthened their faith. And you know why their faith is strengthened from the Christian Worship Hour? Because we preach the Bible. It's nothing that we do. It's everything that God does. And we use scripture, our sermons, our service is filled with the scriptures, the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and he applies it to the people's hearts. And the sinners come to Jesus and the Christians take heart. And oh my, there's power in the Word of God. It's quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, let's see, they're talking about the new song. The new song is a little paper we put out every month, once a month. And we're bringing this to, we have a little Bible study of the new song, a little Bible study. And then we'll have some of the sermons that we're going to have and the text for the sermons. And we'll have excerpts from letters. And it's just a wonderful little paper. And we'll send it free and postpaid. I'm going to give you the address right now. I can't wait till the end of the service. And you write to us and say you want the new song. And you write to the Christian Worship Hour. and the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then if you want to, we've got a little booklet on salvation. You can't lose your salvation. Once saved, you're always saved, and it's filled with Scripture. So just write to us, and we'll put you on the mailing list, and you'll really be glad. You get a lot of junk mail, but this isn't junk mail. This is Jesus mail. This is about Jesus, and I know you'll like it. And it's free and postpaid. Now, here's one more I want to share from Gregory, South Dakota, here in South Dakota. Listen to this man. I have lost my wife and other family members. Your preaching has given me hope and reminding me God is with me through the good times as well as the bad. You know why my preaching helps him? It's the Bible. It isn't anything I do. A parrot could do what I'm doing. And you just use that word of God, and the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to heart. And some convicts people of sin and all of that. But here's a man, he's sorrowing because he lost his wife. His wife is gone. And I'm going to tell you something. My wife is gone. And you don't know what it's all about unless you've experienced it. Don't ever go to people and say, I know who lost their loved one. If you haven't lost a loved one, don't go and say, I know how you feel. You don't have any idea. But I'm going to tell you, God helps us. We take one day at a time. He gives us grace and glory and help. And it's the promises of God that we're going to see them again and be with them again. We're going to see Jesus. And we know it because his word is there. And heaven and earth can pass away. The word of God will never pass away. All the laws of men are going to be rubbish. Practically is already. They don't obey them anyway. I don't know what they got them for. But the word of God is powerful and it'll last forever. And he enforces his word and uses it all the time. God bless you. Well, all right, now we want to take a look on how to become a mature Christian. And I'm sure everybody wants to be a better Christian. I know I do. And I've been a Christian for 85 years. 85. But I've got a lot of rough spots. Oh, dear God. I just have to work on it all the time. And God is going to take me home someday. He's not going to wait till I'm perfect because I'll never be perfect. But he knows I love him and I trust in him. I'm serving him the best I can. And I just trust in Jesus. That's the key, Jesus. You have to have Jesus. Well, so when we accept the Lord Jesus, we're little spiritual babies. And so then we are a new creation. We're born again, he says. You'll be a new creation in Christ. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you receive a new nature, the nature of Christ. So you have two natures in you, the good and the bad. That's why you're always tempted. We're always tempted. And we have to feed the good nature. And so after we want to look at these things because there are some people that never grow spiritually. They've been, because Paul writes to them at Corinth and he says, here you should be eating strong meat. You should be leaders in the church and you're just big baby. You're still taking milk. See, and boy, that's a sad thing. You see a little baby, they're beautiful. But about 40 years later, they're still a baby. You would kind of get tired of changing their old diapers after 40 years. So grow up. Well, all right, here's how you do it. The first thing is we have to be able to handle afflictions correctly. Handle afflictions correctly. There was a bumper sticker that had it exactly right. It says, when life hands you a lemon, make lemonade. And that's exactly what you do. When life treats you roughly, turn it around for good. If a defeat is handed to you, turn it into victory. When trials come to you, turn them into triumph. When instead of becoming its victim, you can become its victor. And you say, oh, I'd like to do that. How do you ever do that? Well, it is not as easy as it sounds. But it is possible because, for one thing, you have to have the right attitude. You have to have the right attitude. It must be joyful, trusting attitude that comes with walking with the Lord. And you'll never have that attitude unless you're walking with the Lord. And you never walk with the Lord unless you ask him into your heart. You ever done that? Well, if you haven't, do it right now. And just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. He knows it. He wants you to confess it. I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll follow you the best I can. And then thank him. Thank you, Jesus, Then tell somebody, I've accepted Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. And you are, because the John 5:24, write that down, John 5:24. The minute you ask Jesus into your life, you are born again. You have everlasting life, that very same breath. So, all right, so you walk with the Lord and have this attitude. Be sure that you're going to, just realize you're going to have the, you can take in the troubles and trials. Peter talks about that. James talks about it. Paul talks about it. For instance, James says in James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it joy. In other words, when you have your next flat tire, count it a joy. Say, God, you got a reason for this, and I'm rejoicing. I'm not going to be a sourpuss and complain around. You stub your toe. Thank God you got a toe. That's the way you do it, see? There's false teaching going about today. And the false teaching is that the health and wealth gospel. You hear this from some of the TV preachers. I'm a TV preacher, but I don't preach health and wealth because you know why I don't? Because it isn't in the Bible. God doesn't teach that. The health and wealth gospel, the people that teach that, they say that if you have faith enough, everything is going to break your way. You'll always have a good job. You'll always have enough money. If you have enough faith, you'll have enough money. You'll never be sick. And if you're sick, you'll be healed right overnight. Presto, pronto. Your marriage will be rosy. Your kids will turn out like little saints. You'll never have doubts and fears, and everything will be right. And all, everything will be perfect. Health and wealth. You know where they get that? They get that from the Old Testament. They get that from the one verse, Deuteronomy 29, verse 9. This is what it says. God says, therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. And that's what they use. And you know why they shouldn't use it? Because it isn't meant for Christians. It was meant for Israel in the promised land. It doesn't have a thing to do with Christians today. That's not a promise for today. But they twist it around. They make it mean something different. And just think of the people that have struggled for the Lord and serving the Lord. St. Paul told of his impoverishment. Jesus said he didn't even have a place to lay his head, the Son of God. The apostles were scattered all over the face of the earth. Every one of them was killed, so far as we know, except St. John, murdered, put to death. And look at the persecuted church today. Some of them are listening with us. They're worshiping with us today. And how they're suffering. And this verse doesn't mean diddle to them. And it shouldn't, because it's meant for Israel when they were in the promised land. Because in this day and age, they're going to have troubles and trials. And James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He doesn't say count it joy if you fall into these troubles. He says count it joy when you fall into these troubles, because you're going to have troubles. Listen to Jesus, John 16:33. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Jesus tells us that. St. Paul says in Acts 14:22, and he talks about those who are new, just accepting Jesus. And he says, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And that's what Peter's talking about in 1 Peter 4:12 when he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Our world system is against God's kingdom, and they never get tired persecuting the Christian, and they're going to persecute the Christian till they get to hell. They'll never give up. Notice too, Paul says we fall into these trials. It doesn't mean that we go out looking for them, but it means that they come to us. And when they come to us, we stand true and just know this. Have the right attitude. And like Job. Here's Job. He's lost all of his animals. He's lost all of his property. He lost his house. He lost his sons. He lost his daughter. He lost his health. He's about to die. And this is what he says in Job 23, verse 10. He knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He's saying, oh, I give up and it's everything's against me. And poor little old me. He says, I thank God for these trials and everything. I'm going to come out as gold. I'm going to be mature. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be something for God. And so when these false witnesses come around, they say, oh, you send enough money to my TV program. You do this or you do that, and you send money, and you be good and send seed money and all the rest of this stuff. And then you're going to get money back, and, oh, you're going to know what to do with all your money. Oh, don't you listen to them. This world, maybe you will have wealth and health, and I hope that you do, but a lot of us won't. And we are going to have a struggle. And so what we do is we just give it all to Jesus. Stop listening to the false doctrine. And then instead, if you have the right attitude, if you're mature enough to have the right attitude, you'll turn that old lemons into lemonade, something beautiful. Second thing he says, don't look at afflictions through the, look at the afflictions through the eyes of faith. Jesus talks about this too. James talks about this too. He says, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. So when we come to spiritual maturity in our faith and we're tested and tried, that brings a Christian virtue. And one of those Christian virtues is patience. And this testing of faith only makes faith grow. Faith is like a muscle. And if you use it, it'll become stronger. If you never use it, it'll grow weak and you won't be there. Faith needs use to make it grow. It needs to be put to the test. It needs to be challenged. It needs to be tested. And that's what God is doing. So when trouble comes our way, it's not coming to destroy us. It's not coming to defeat us. It's coming to make us grow. It's coming for our good. The trials and troubles of life are not against us. They are for us. And God is working his plan and his purpose through all of us that way. Listen to Peter encourage us at this point. He says in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Listen to St. Paul. Peter is saying, this is worth more than pure gold to have your faith tested and tried and patience coming from it. Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Romans 8, verse 28. St. Paul didn't say, we suppose or we hope or it could be. He says, we know. We know that all things, good and bad, they are there for our good. They work together for good. So keep that in mind, that wonderful troubles and trials. And when the purpose that come upon us, the troubles and trials, it makes us patient. It makes us persevere. It makes us think of God. It makes us think of eternity. It makes us lean on Jesus all the more. So St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, 17. Listen to this, dear friends, if you're having troubles and trials today. He says, these troubles and sufferings of ours are after all quite small and don't last long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessings upon us forever and ever. Faith will make us believe that. When we believe that, we will become strong and we'll be making lemonade out of those lemons. We'll be turning something evil, something hard, something bitter into good because we know God is in it and God has a purpose and a reason for it. These troubles and trials are trying to make us more mature Christians. They're trying to make us more. They have a purpose. They have a reason to teach us patience and endurance, to be set to hang in there, to never give up. The weakling is a baby at first, and he's always giving up, and he's always dropping out, and you can't count him for 2 cents. But the mature is there, the mature believer is there, and come hell or high water, as they used to say out on the farm, I'm standing for Jesus Christ, and I'm not moving a bit, and I'm rejoicing that he counts me worthy to suffer for him. That's turning the lemons into lemonade. The old mature saint of God by the name of Paul hit the nail on the head. And this is what he wrote. He said in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope. The patience spoken of here is that we're just not sitting there taking a beating up over the head, but it means that we're standing up true for Christ, and we're making the best of it, and we're using it to honor Christ and show our faith in him. That's what St. Paul did. He had this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. He had a thorn in the flesh. And he stands up and he says, I asked God to take it away 3 times. And God says, Paul, I'm not going to take it away. Don't ask me again. And what did he say? Oh, I'm trying to be a good apostle. I did this, blah, blah, blah. And what did he do? He says, I glory in my infirmity. I'll hold it up like a flag. You're making lemonade out of lemons. We can do that with God's help. Mature people are patient and persistent, and they never give up. And they never turn, never putting their hand to the plow. They never stop. Faith believes God. Believe God. Faith believes that God has a purpose in all the trials of life. Faith rests in God. Faith is patient. Faith is persistent. Faith that doesn't know what the world is to quit or to give up or turn tail. In faith's vocabulary, there's no need for words like quit and give up and turn back. Faith knows that God has a purpose in the troubles and trials. We believe that. And as a mature Christian, we thank God. He counts us worthy to suffer for his name's sake. And the third thing, do we submit to God's will? Submit to God's will in all things if you want to be mature. No matter what it brings, sunshine or rain, storm clouds or sunny days, you trust God. And you pray that you submit to God's will. And if you see, you'll never do that if you insist on having your own way. And you're going to be your own quarterback. And you're going to call all the plays in your life. Doing the things that I want to do. Going to places of dishonoring to Christ. Having no time for God or his kingdom. And you're just living your own life in a high old way. Free, foot loose and fancy free, we used to say. All the way to hell. Instead, we say, oh, God, I want to grow up. You see, in the book of God, in 1 John, God talks about that. He says in 1 John chapter 2, little children, there you have the babies. And then he says, calls them young men. They're growing up. And then he calls them fathers. That's spiritual growth and maturity coming to become strong. But we have to want to grow. We have to want to do it. Because if we don't, when things happen to us, we feel sorry for ourselves, or we give up, or we turn from the faith, or we quit church, or we do whatever we're doing, what little things we're doing, or we don't give, or we do be 1,000 different things. We want to grow up, and with great growing up, it means that we're going to have to take some blows for Jesus Christ, because that's a part of the growing. Yes, we want to do that. God wants us to mature. He wants us to be strong in character. And it may take time to do that. It isn't going to happen overnight. For instance, look at Abraham. He worked 25 years with Abraham to bring him maturity. And then he promised if he'd have a son. He waited 25 years. Look at with Joseph. He was 13 years in Egypt. Before he became elevated to the fair place of a Pharaoh. Look at Moses. He was 80 years to mature. And after the 80 years, then he led the children of Israel 40 years. So be patient and give God time to work. He's building character. He's making you strong. He's making you something that can really work God. He's doing the will of God. In Ephesians 6, verse 6, Paul told the church at Ephesus, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, you can't do that unless you have Jesus. It's impossible to do it alone. And you'll never have Jesus until you ask him, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not a child of God till you receive Jesus. You say, I go to church, I do these things. You have to have Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus. You have to have Jesus. How do I have Jesus? You say, I want Jesus. Holy Spirit's talking to you right now. You want Jesus. You say, dear Jesus, just use your own words. Don't get fancy. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to take away my sins and come into my heart, and I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. You can do that. Now, if you do that, you write to us. And we'll send you some literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we need to have you, say you accepted the Lord or you rededicated your life, we'll send you some literature to help you in the Christian life. And while you're up to it, you need to send a gift. You need to pray. Dear God, is this service to continue? Are you using this service? Well, it costs money to do that. We're a member of the ECFA, Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Our books are checked, coming and going, every penny. And so you can write to us, Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. It's on the screen there. And you be sure to do that, because we have to hear from you if we're going to carry on. And then we want to just let you know that we'll be thinking about you and praying for you. And you pray for us. And tell your friends and tell other people. And if you want the new song, write for that. If you want the salvation booklet, write for that. And we'll be happy to write. Now we're going to close with a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for being with us in this service. We praise your name for all of those who have opened their heart to you and accepted you as their Savior. And we just pray that you'll give them the joy of their salvation and use them mightily. We pray for those, Lord, in Uganda. We always pray for the persecuted church. We pray for them in Uganda today. And some of them are dying for you, and some of them are displaced from their homes. Some don't know where their children are. Some don't know where their parents are. Oh, my God. Just to be especially close. I know you will. You love them with the love that we have, far more than we can love them, and you care for them. But there's a purpose and a reason, and someday the day of suffering will be over, and we'll wear the martyr's crown. They'll wear their martyr's crown. We won't. We don't even know what so suffering is in the United States. And so we pray for these dear ones. Pray for those on beds of sickness. Pray for those who are shut in. Pray for the young people who don't know which way to turn in life. Pray for the children that want Jesus in their heart. We just pray that in all things, you'll be honored and pleased in Jesus' name. So now you'll be sure to write to us. We'll have it on the screen there. And if you want to send a gift, you can get the ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send it on the internet, or you can send it through the mail. And then you want to know that we're praying for you, and we want you to pray for us. And we want you to pray for three things for the Christian Worship Hour: that we'll glorify God, that we'll save the lost, bring the lost to Jesus, and we'll comfort the people of God. You told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And that's just what we're trying to do. And so if we can do it with the word of God. And so just join us. We can all be one great band, and we're all scattered all over the world. But someday we'll be gathered together in heaven. And the troubles and trials of life will be done, and we'll see the Son of God face to face, and we'll meet each other, and won't that be something? God bless you. Everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.